Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Matt Lieb.
And I'm Vince Mancini.
And this is
Pod Yourself a Gun.
The mailbag episode.
Hey.
Where me and Vince Mancini go through every single email you've ever sent us
and talk about it. Or answer it? I don't know.
Both at the same time. Podcast.
The mailbag episode.
We thank you all so much for tuning in once again for this very special episode. 5 stars in a review. You already know. Patreon.com/Frogcast. You already know this stuff and you hate when I talk about it. So, today we are finally going to go and listen to your voicemails and answer your emails. I've always felt guilty about the fact that we tell you to do that at the end of every episode and then rarely actually listen to your voicemails.
Yeah, we got
to
respect the piggies.
Yeah, I feel like you guys
don't want their furious oinking to drown out our conversation, but we do want to acknowledge that we hear them oinking.
Yeah, we hear the oinks. We hear you just dragging your hooves in your dirt and, you know, ready to charge for that trough. And we appreciate that, you know. And of course, you know, we want to acknowledge all of you piggies out there.
I mean, now that it's been raining so much lately, like, we've noticed just like an uptick in the amount of piggies.
There's more piggies than before, even though they usually enjoy a dry dirt. Our piggies love to get wet. They love to roll around in the muck and just bathe in our content. And we appreciate that. Listen, without the piggies, you know, this wouldn't exist, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't do this if there were no listeners. I've done podcasts like that before. After a while, it's just like, we can hang out. We don't need to record this, you know? Today, we have no guest, but of course, we do have our very special Pod Yourself a Gun producer, Brent Flyberg, in the house. What's up, dude?
Oh, hello. Thank you for, I was going to say thank you for having me, but I'm not a guest. I'm a producer. I'm making this whole thing happen.
Yeah.
So you're welcome, I suppose, is what
yes.
I should say.
You're welcome is the correct response. You know, you make the magic happen. You're the man behind the camera. You know, if there was cameras involved. Well, what do you say, guys? You want to get into this?
Let's jump on in.
All right. So, Vince, you've got the doc open. Why don't you you kick us off?
Well, we got a question from $8 patron Ben. I forget what nickname we gave him. I don't have that as a Google Doc. But hello from KC. Fuck, marry, kill. Christopher Polly Silvio. P.S. Matt butchered my mob name back in December. Can I get a name from Vince? Thanks, Ben.
I feel bad. I feel like for the first couple of Pod Yourself a Shoutouts, I was the guy doing the nicknames, and they were real, real bad. And so, yeah, I feel like you can. His name is Ben Tosone, T-O-S-O-N.
Well, I'm just gonna call him. I'm gonna call him Ben Dover. You know, from Dover, Delaware. We're gonna nickname him Delaware because he's so mysterious. No one knows anything about him.
I like it.
Like the state of Delaware. What do they got over there?
What
I don't
are you
know.
About? You're like, you got credit cards and you think you're a big deal because of it. But who gives a shit about credit? Fucking Delaware. I mean, he's specifically from Kansas City, but.
I mean, that's how mysterious he is. He's named Delaware, and that's how he keeps people from knowing that he's actually from Kansas City.
You're very
home
good
of the
at
tomato-based barbecue sauce.
You do a great job of creating. These are very Guy Ritchie type nicknames, mm-hmm. you know, like.
Oh wow! I just saw a Guy Ritchie movie last night. That's really funny.
Oh, did you watch the Jason Statham one?
Yeah, Wrath of Man, which is actually a remake of a French film, and the English translation of the French title is Cash Truck, and Cash Truck. How much better of a title is that than Wrath of Man?
It's perfect. Yeah. It's exactly. I know exactly what's going to happen in Cash Truck.
Exactly. You know, I want to watch a movie called Cash Truck. Maybe one day I will. All right, so fuck, marry, kill Christopher, Polly, and Sylvia. You want me to go first? I can do that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, to me, this is a pretty easy one. You know, Mary, obviously, I go Silvio because he's the most stable provider mm-hmm. of the yes. three. Plus, he knows how to be married. It was alleged that he fucks all the whores at the Bing, but, you know, we've never seen it happen. It's not probably going to get back to you. It's fine. He's going to do his thing, whatever. He's going to take care of the kids. Fuck is a little tougher. I'm going to say Christopher, but the thing is, it's
interesting.
Like do you want Christopher when he's sober? Cause sober Christopher probably fucks pretty good.
I imagine so, but when we're talking about Christopher, I feel like, you know, you're setting yourself up to get limp-dicked by a junkie, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
Like,
but
he's
I feel like he's gonna
smash his wiggly little grub into your butthole. And like, you really gotta fucking
wiggly little grub.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
When you just mush it in like grub grub.
I mean, a wiggly little grub would be better than like a catatonic little grub.
Yeah, I guess. It's wiggly only
movement in there.
Yeah, there's something going on with a wiggly grub.
And then I gotta kill Polly, which, you know, sorry Polly, I don't want to fuck him. I like to laugh at him. I don't think he'd be a good lay necessarily.
Yeah, Brent, what about you?
I think I'm going the same roster. I think being around Polly too much, you'd get tired of him fast. I'd have to kill him, Christopher. Yeah, I think you catch him on a good day. He's laying some pipe. And kudos to Ben. Classic dumb guy question. Not that you're dumb. Sure, you're a nice person, but fuck, marry, kill, which is a classic dumb guy question. Perfect one to start with.
Yeah. Kudos to Ben. Ben, you know, Delaware, we call him. You guys are wrong on all accounts. So first of all, I am going to marry Polly.
Lifelong bachelor Polly. I mean, it's an unconventional choice.
Here's the thing, because at this point, I'm like pretty sure. I remember they tried to give him like a girlfriend, like second season or some shit like that. Or I forget when that was, but it was like that he had like a girlfriend for a bit. And it just was like, nah, this doesn't stick. And then eventually he's just, you know, fucking alone. You never see a girl again. And so I kind of feel like, I don't know, like I could hang out with Polly. I could have a relationship with him that's not based on sex. You know, I could have a relationship based on like, you know, repeating jokes to each other that we just said.
And to a guy who's just about to get married like you are, or recently gotten engaged, you're looking at marriage as something, you know, where you bond over something besides sex.
Exactly. That's what marriage is. You know, Francesca and I stopped fucking years ago, but you know, we're in love and we like to tell each other the same jokes over and over. Also, yes, I am engaged. That is some news. We're going to post about it, you know, on the internet as soon as we get a new ring, because I bought the worst ring I have ever. It's Brent, it's an awful ring.
What does
ring.
That mean?
Oh, so I bought a ring. I talked about this on the bonus front, but real quick, the ring that I wanted to get was kind of based on something that she had shown me at one point. And so I went into like a jewelry store going, I want this. And they were like, we have this and this and this and this. So I was like, no, I want this. And then they were like, okay, well, we can special order this, you know, get the stone from New York. It's like a blue topaz. Uh-huh. And then they ended up like, I picked it up. I'd already paid for it, you know, based on like pictures that cobbled together. This is what it'll look like.
No.
And it came up looking like a fucking blue ring pop. And she likes small and like modest looking jewelry. She doesn't like fucking old Jewish lady jewelry. And I immediately freaked out and talked to my sister. I was like, this sucks. She's going to hate it. And she was like, don't worry about it. And then, yeah, I proposed and she loved the proposal. And she was like, yeah, well, you know, maybe we could change the ring.
you need to take that ring to like some sort of mafia connected loan shark to give you some money to get a new ring while he tries to find a fence for the old ring. And all that stuff.
If there's any mob guys out there who want to help me out with my ring problem, no, but we're just going to exchange it. You know, it's fine. It's all good. Anyways, I'm in love. So I would marry Polly. I would kill Christopher because, you know, one addict to another, you know, let's just put this guy out of his misery.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm making Tony Soprano's decisions here. Like, you know, when he killed, well, no spoilers. He doesn't kill Christopher. But when he does, I feel like, you know, putting him out of his misery is...
I mean, that is a tough decision to make. When the guy doing the intervention says, oh, yeah, you know, it's common for people to relapse. I've relapsed a few times. And, like, you're in a business like the mafia, you're like, are we really going to, like, spend our time waiting for this guy to get clean and then, you know, have to expect him to relapse a few times before he learns his lesson and still let him be in the mafia?
No, it's a big gamble. And as someone who's
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm not a gambler. I'm killing Christopher, which means I'm fucking Silvio. Is that right?
I'd say he probably has like the thickest ropes of the three.
Oh my God, his ropes are unbelievable. Like gym class size ropes.
Do you think he takes his wig off to fuck?
I hope not, dude. I want to see that shit.
I always wonder if it is Sopranos canon that he is also wearing a hairpiece in the show, or if that's supposed to be real in the show.
It's a hairpiece in the show. It's got to be.
So, yeah, it's so thick every time.
They don't fucking...
Like his ropes.
It's like his ropes. It's perfect. And enough said. So yeah, those are my choices. Great question, Ben, Delaware. So there's
Steven Van Zandt been in anything else, or is this just like his one role?
He was in like Lilyhammer. You know?
That's right. Yeah.
I never saw it because it looked like Detective Silvio solves Norwegian crimes, and I was like, I don't know if this is for me. but like it could have been good, you know. I think I heard good things about it, but
not a lot of people give David Chase enough credit for casting like a random member of the E Street Band in like a major role and having it work out.
Credit where credit is due. That was the perfect casting decision. I mean, he really is fucking fantastic on that show. He's so goddamn funny. And, apparently a very good guitar player if you're into that.
Yeah,
sort of
he's
thing.
Got taste. He's got just like a Santa sack full of tasty licks that he will play for you.
People love Little Stevie's licks. Does it take to get to the center of his ropes? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. That song that they play, the Little Stevie song that Gloria dances to. That song. We agree. That song sucks, right?
It's bad.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, we all had the same reaction. We're like, what is this Rolling Stones song and why is it so bad? And they're like, oh, it's like a E Street deep cut.
Yeah.
That's a strange part of the episode where someone is like, I love this song. Gloria gets up and is like, I love this song. And I remember thinking, no one loves this song.
It felt very much like a contractually obligated to mention the song being good moment.
Hey, Little Stevie's got to wet his beak over here. I got some polishing on this song.
A little bit of action on the side, you know. He can't count on Soprano's money. He needs to make sure his music career is good. So this next question is an email from $8 patron Brett. Brett Crawford. We'll call him Crawdad. We'll call him Fish Lips. See, that's how you would do it, right?
Yeah, it's all right.
All right,
it's
fine. You do it.
It's not bad. What's his name? I mean, I don't know. He probably already got one.
Oh, yeah, he probably did. Why does Tony forgive Junior for trying to whack him in season one? Tony tries to smother Livia to death in a hospital bed after hearing the FBI tapes, but by season two and three, he's all coup de la with Junior. Coup de la. I've heard that before.
I don't know what that means either. Maybe should I look it up?
Yeah, coup de la. It means like kumbaya. It's the same sentiment, doesn't it?
Close, tight, can keep a secret without talking, especially to the other guy's lady. That's what Cora. That's what Cora says. It is close. All right, well, tight.
It wasn't quite kumbaya, but you know, yeah, that's fair enough. Did David Chase realize he'd written himself into a corner with a great character in Uncle June and quietly back out of the plot, or is there some mafia reason why Tony would accept an attempt on his life by a family member and not clap back? Salute, Brett.
I think it's the latter. I mean,
yeah,
like Junior's function in this whole family was to be, you know, a figurehead while mm-hmm. Tony's actually calling the shots. So his entire function is to sort of like take the heat off of Tony. So,
yeah. And I also push back against the idea that Tony was actually trying to smother Livia with a pillow. I don't think he was. He grabbed a pillow and then loomed. He right. loomed over, but he didn't like try to like press it down on her face. You know what I mean? He grabbed the mm-hmm. pillow. It seemed like maybe he subconsciously was going to smother her, and it mostly just like served to like create this rumor that he was going to, but like he wasn't actually going to do that. So I think when it comes to like killing blood, I think he's a lot more forgiving. Like, I mean, you know, with like Christopher's whole shit, you know, he's in rehab for being a fucking addict. And yeah, like you said before,
I mean, didn't
most people would just kill his ass.
Didn't Tony basically subsume all of Junior's crew? And I mean, yeah. He doesn't really have power anymore because he doesn't have a crew. So it's easy to just be like, I think he recognizes yeah. him as not a threat now because he doesn't have a crew to work for.
He's literally just a lightning rod for crimes, which is like kind of the perfect punishment for him. So like Tony doesn't have to worry about, you know, being the figurehead. So I think it kind of ended up perfectly, and that's probably the reason he didn't kill him. And also, like, you know, Tony goes through phases of like, this person's dead to me, and then kind of eventually he eases back into a relationship. So mm-hmm. it doesn't surprise me.
He probably would have been like, I would have tried to whack me too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I get it. I look at myself in the mirror. I said, this guy needs to fucking die. I'm on Prozac. Yeah, so I think that's my answer to that question. Vince, let's pivot real quick
uh-huh.
to some of the voicemails. And okay. I have one that I want to start with.
Okay.
That my girlfriend, who's now my fiance, no big deal.
Oh, you Gumar?
My Gumar gave me for my birthday. She got me a very special message.
Oh, wow. All right, here it goes.
Matt Lieb. Matty boy, what is going on, babe? Hey, it's Aida Totoro here, but you know that. No, I'm kidding. From The Sopranos. And so I got a message. I'm talking to Francesca, the beautiful and wonderful Francesca, who adores you. What a catch, huh? You guys, I could just see you two together. Just how adorable. How adorable are you? Anyway, so let's get down to something serious now. What is May 2nd? What? It's your birthday! Hey, so I called to say happy birthday. Happy birthday to you, Matt. Oh, Maddie, it's your birthday. It's your birthday. It's your birthday. I love birthdays. When it's my birthday, I'm like, that's it. It's like 15 celebrations. Even though they might be small, I'm sure you're going to, well, whatever you do, because, you know, these days, but you have to have a great, great birthday. That is so cool. I hear you have a podcast. Not that I understand any of these things, because I'm, I don't, me and those things that.
You know, this goes on for a full two more minutes.
It is 4 minutes long. It is wild. But shut up, dude. She's about to plug the podcast.
Oh, okay.
It was electronic, where you go, I don't know. But you have a podcast? Podcast Yourself a Gun. Cool. Close. Name. I guess I think right about The Sopranos. Probably wouldn't do well on it because my memory is gone. But maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit. But anyway, I was going to say, and I just want you to know before we start celebrating your birthday that, you know, you're a solid B plus guy. It's okay. You're a solid B plus guy. You know, I mean, that's good, right? Solid B plus. All right. Oh, all right. Listen. Oh,
I like the idea that, you know, other Sopranos podcasts might get Sopranos cast members to be actual guests.
Yeah, to be guests.
But on Pod Yourself a Gun, you know, we just buy them on Cameo.
You can get them on Cameo, and I think people really need to understand that, like, you can have big-name guests on your podcast. You got to pay for it, but you can.
I wanted to sing. Let me sing, and then I have to ask you a favor. Okay, is that okay? I know that I'm an actress. I have sung, though. You know, I did sing on Broadway once. Let me have a sip of water, because if I'm going to start singing, you know. But Francesca can join in.
Mm. I just assume all actors can sing.
Oh, sola mia. No, there you go. It's not opera time. Okay. All right, Matt. It's your birthday. So everybody join in. Happy birthday to you, Maddie boy.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. A little bit of happy birthday, Mr. Matt. Yeah. Happy birthday to Maddie. It's your birthday, baby. It's your birthday. Party like it's your birthday. Matt, happy birthday to you, Matt. Happy birthday to you, Matt. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Matt. Bum, 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 bum. There you go. I have a new career singing happy birthday. What's wrong with that?
So amazing.
No, don't think about it.
I thought she was going to go into this LA Matt flap flap up in that ass.
Oh my God. I think I would have literally died.
Well, she still has a minute left, so who knows?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, two
so
minutes
listen,
left.
Listen, a little bit. I just, do you think I could borrow some money? You think? Just a little money. Yeah? You're the best, man. You're the best. Anyway, guys, I...
All right, that's it.
There's still a minute 30, but yeah, we'll cut it there. I can't imagine what happens in the last minute 30, but...
It's kind of just her wrapping up and talking about how she's at a job right now, so...
Again, like, I love that actors don't have, like, the wrap-it-up switch in their heads like other people have, and I kind of, like, I wish I had some of that. I guess it's ironic that I say this while we're doing our overlong podcast, but I just feel like I don't have that in normal life where you just keep going.
No, you constantly want to wrap it up.
Yeah.
That's your being. Your entire fucking id is like, well, that's been said, and then you want to run. And
yeah.
Yeah, which is, you know, fair enough, but yeah,
I'm a writer. We value succinctness. Our entire life is like, all right, how do I say this in fewer words?
Yeah. Word economy that's your bread and butter, dude. But asking Janice Soprano to ask me to borrow some money was such a beautiful touch at the end there that I was just like, oh, I'm proposing to this girl tomorrow. And I did. So that's Aida Turturro, who I just want to say.
Aida.
Is it Aida? Right.
That's what she said.
You know, Aida, potato, potato. But Yeah, I you know, I want to say that
we could call her Parvati. I think
Parvati is she's an amazing actress, and she is the sweetest thing ever. The fact that she didn't just sing Happy Birthday, she went through like she did a birthday medley. I gotta say, she's the coolest person in the world. So yeah, thanks for being our first ever Sopranos cast member guest on Pod Yourself a Gun, and yeah, we'll send you some money. She, by the way, you guys can't see the video, but when Francesca showed this to me, the first few seconds I was like, "Who the fuck is this? And why do they look like Ellen Burstyn in Requiem for a Dream?" She's lost a lot of weight. She lost a lot of weight, and you know, she's clearly in a hotel or wherever she's staying while she's working whatever acting job she's on, and like her hair is fucking wild, and I thought she looked very much like she had big "I'm gonna be on television" energy, you know what I mean? Like very Ellen Burstyn in Requiem.
Are we violating the T's and C's of Cameo by playing that? I hope not. We'll put this on the patrons only.
Are there T's and C's?
I always have no idea.
I always see them. Like, you know,
I didn't sign any T's or C's.
I didn't sign a single T nor a single C. So, but yeah, she's. I love that her hair was weird, and she looks great. So yeah, do we?
We got another.
Do we have any?
Oh, you want voicemails?
Yeah, do we have any voicemails from our listeners?
I mean, this is going to be dangerous because, like I said, I haven't...
You didn't vet?
I didn't vet.
I vetted all the emails, and you didn't vet one voicemail.
No, I didn't vet from voicemails.
What do you vet from voicemails?
Yeah. Let's go for it. Why not? We can edit it out if it sucks. It's fine.
That's true.
Hey, Vince. Hey, Matt. $8 a month donor Ryan, love the show, solid B+. I was in middle school in northern New Jersey when The Sopranos debuted, so it's great to kind of rewatch the show. My question really though is, what is your guys' favorite parody of Hollywood agents and the business side, and why is it when little Paulie and Benny smack Chris's sponsor in the face with his own MacBook? All right. So I'll B+.
So the question is what's my favorite parody portrayal of Hollywood agents?
Yeah. Why is it Chris's sponsor?
And why is it Chris's sponsor?
Yeah. That's the question.
Well, Chris's sponsor is, he's the writer, right? Tim Daly plays him.
Yeah.
That comes later. I haven't rewatched that part of the series, in a long time, so I don't remember. All I know is that, the Showbiz episode with Jon Favreau is pretty amazing.
It is. It's pretty incredible. And like, not a Hollywood agent, but, in terms of, a development person, the D girl in that episode is perfect. It is like she is exactly every development executive. It's basically, it's like a 24-year-old girl, and I as opposed to like woman, but like they are a girl, but they're in a suit. Mm-hmm. Like they're a child in a suit
and talking about all of the people on IMDb like they're best friends.
Talking about IMDb like they're like, you know, they're homies, and like talking about like cinema, like both art and like movies and television, only in terms of like their gross overseas, you know, like just kind of this very like clinical, you know, money based version of like caring about stuff, and then also feeling like they have the expertise to read your script and give you notes like that.
Know how much it's going to gross overseas based on
Yeah, like Hollywood really is a fake it till you make it place, like to a degree that is very annoying if you're not faking it. You know, like for anyone who like actually is a writer, like someone who is good at what they do, whether or not they've made it or not. Not that I'm talking about myself, but whoever. Like there's always a thousand different creative executives who have never said anything funny in their whole life who want to give you notes to tell you, you know, what works, and not just creatively, but also like economically, like, you know, this should be for the wine moms is something that every development executive has said. And
that's funny. I've never heard that.
Oh my God. It's a thing.
I will say, you know, obviously Matthew McConaughey in Tropic Thunder, excellent portrayal of an agent.
Yeah. That was a great part.
I don't know that it was accurate, but it was funny. It was really good. I don't know. He's not an agent, but you know, you got Tom Cruise's Harvey Weinstein in that movie, which I didn't like, but a lot of people liked
it. I feel like I'm the only. I'm glad you did. I'm the only person I think I've ever known who's been like, Tom Cruise's performance in that movie was, I don't know. It just was, I didn't think it was good. I thought it was like, okay.
Here's the thing about Tom Cruise. People debate whether he's like a good actor or a good movie star. I would say he is a great movie star who has never done anything intentionally funny in his career that I can think of. He's not like a funny guy. Like he's a great action star, and I love watching Tom Cruise. He's not a funny dude, and he's definitely not like in on the joke. So when you write something where he's like in on the joke, it doesn't really translate.
Working. Yeah. He was clearly performing that part, and he did a good job.
He really committed, which
that's his, I think that is what makes him so captivating is because he commits to a role, but it didn't make me laugh.
He's kind of delusional deep inside.
He's an insane person, that's for sure. I mean, he has Scientology slaves who like fucking, you know, they loofah his feet or whatever you're supposed to do there, but like you know, he's great. I mean, you know, what can I say? He's Tom Cruise.
All right, Matt, are we going back to voicemails or are we going to more emails?
Let's do more emails.
Oh, all right.
The next one.
Okay. This one comes from $10 patron Charlie Pop. Hey, Vince and Matt, The Sopranos had so many one episode characters that really stand out, like Bobby's dad and Chris's drug friend. Which one was your favorite / you wished got a longer run? Thanks and eat the beans, Charlie Pop.
Great question,
Charlie. I got one off top.
Okay.
The little kid who says, fuck you, Santa, in the Christmas episode. Boy, did that kid do a good line read of fuck you, Santa. This is coming from someone who despises child actors in general, but that kid did a good job. I also would have said Svetlana, but obviously Svetlana did end up getting a longer run, which obviously she deserved it because that's pretty great character. Oh, I will say the giant Russian guy Pine Barrens episode.
Yeah, no, I think that's a classic answer. Everyone wanted to know a follow-up with that guy because he just seemed to be a superhero.
Not even so much that I want to know more about him. I just really liked the character of this like giant alcoholic Russian guy who isn't going to take shit from anybody or care about his own life in any way.
Yeah, no, it was I definitely would love to have seen more of that. Brent, do you have any character you'd see?
Yeah,
more?
The weird old hitman that Christopher I forget what they call him, the something boys. I don't remember, but they're all like old.
They're from like Rhode Island. And it's kind something. Of
a the Rhode Island guys. Yeah. There's like a sort of a creepy X-Files vibe to that house, which was just a lot of fun for a couple minutes. I don't know how much gas they really could have gotten out of that, but I would have liked to see them again.
I also like the weaselly Armagnac salesman. The French guy.
I I don't know. I mean, it would kind of maybe it would like kind of subvert the whole narrative of the show, but I really loved the stripper who got beat to death.
Tracy.
Yeah,
I know why you loved her.
Yeah, because she, like, she's her titties. She was, like, beautiful, but also I felt like they were, I mean, the point of it was to introduce you to this character who you, like, you know, felt bad for and were like, oh, man, they're, you know, this fucking, they're in a cycle that's not good. And then they kill her in front of you and you're like, fuck. But I would like to see her more. And I think, again, both of my answers are real bad. I would have loved it if the woman who played Livia Soprano had not died. because she might be the greatest.
I wish my dog had lived forever, too.
Yeah, but I was just saying, like, she to me is probably one of the greatest television characters of all time.
Sure. Does Meadow's crazy roommate, she got like about two episodes, I think. Did she come back at some point? What happened to the crazy manic depressive, like Caitlin or something?
Caitlin, she's in it a lot during that third season. Like she comes and goes, you know, you see her ups and downs. When she and Jackie Jr. break up, you know, I remember you see Caitlin at one point also comforting Meadow when Meadow and Jackie Jr. break up. So she makes a lot of appearances throughout. She's also in the movie Mystic River, and sure. I just rewatched that. Yeah.
What about...
is that my Caitlin in there? Is that my Caitlin in there? John! I'm sorry, go ahead.
What's Melfi Shrink's name again?
Oh, Peter Bogdanovich.
Yeah, Peter Bogdanovich and his daughter, the lesbian daughter. I want more of Dr. What's-His-Face's lesbian daughter, too.
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, just because she seems like such a, I don't know, she's a vehicle for that type of NPR character. Yeah. That I
they
think
saved
is so
11 crack
needed.
Babies last year.
Yeah, we saved 11 crack babies. Yeah, no, she would have been good. Yeah, I don't know. Like for me, like the side characters who are the most memorable. I think Brent, you're right about like that Rhode Island crew was definitely the most backstory. Left completely unsaid. And I would have loved to see more of that.
Sure.
And a little bit more on the fucking Big Mouth Billy Bass. You guys know I love those. Would have liked to have seen an arc, you know? Hey, Vince.
Hey, Matt.
As you know, Vince, I love old internet memes. Remember the early internet's obsession with Chuck Norris jokes?
I do remember that.
Here's one. When Chuck Norris went to college, he told his father, "Now you're the man of the house."
Why do you bring this up?
Well, I was thinking about those old memes, and I started thinking, I wonder what Chuck Norris is doing right now. What has he been up to?
You know, I actually know the answer to that, Matt. Yeah, I recently saw a health video he made, and I was surprised. He's in his 80s. And he still seems to have energy and health.
You know, I saw the very same video, Vince, and in it he says he's even stronger, has more stamina, and plenty of energy left over for his grandkids since making one simple health change that helps his digestion and nutrition.
That's almost too powerful to contemplate, but yes. It's true. He says he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife made the same change, and she's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger and has energy all day.
I am way younger than them, and I have energy for about 2 hours a day. And the problem is, you know, that many of us do not include fruits and vegetables and other herbs that increase health and energy in our own diets. Chuck Norris made a special video that explains how he incorporated these things with one simple product.
I love special videos, and you can watch it too by going to mymorningkick.com/podyourself, and it may change your approach to your own health.
Once again, that's mymorningkick.com/podyourself, mymorningkick.com/podyourself.
pod yourself. Go there now and watch this very special Chuck Norris video.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Our next email is from $10 Patreon donor David Murr.
The murderer.
Yeah, murderer. Greetings, you beautiful buffoons. My question, what do you think the characters would be like if the show was set in the last 5 years? I can definitely see AJ being a QAnon guy and Meadow being, quote, with her. Fraud on, David
Mir. I feel like this is the conversation we've probably had the most on this show. And
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'm pretty sure we've said before that AJ's for sure a Yang Gang guy because, you know, he loves to game. He's into nu metal. Mm-hmm. And Meadow obviously is just a classic professional managerial class.
Yes.
Liberal. Who, you know,
very like she definitely was K-Hive in 2020.
Yeah.
She has a signed copy of Lean In. That she
exactly.
Keeps, like on display.
She has weaponized a certain type of woke. I don't want to say woke because, you know, everybody's overused that word. But she's weaponized a certain kind of like liberal indignance to get what she wants, that she you know, deploys extremely nihilistically. And I definitely feel that feels very like K-Hive slash, you know, Joanne Reed kind of thing.
Totally. Yeah. She I could have seen her getting a job that allows her to be a talking head on MSNBC, you know, like one of those, you know, works for a fucking think tank type job or, you know, fucking something in the security state. I could have seen that as well. I mean, she went to like medical school. And so, you know, like first law school and medical school or whatever. And so,
well, now she works for legal defense. You know, she volunteers for legal defense.
Right, exactly. I don't know.
She definitely would have married like some sort of corporate lawyer lobbyist guy you know, defends like Halliburton or whatever. And while she does, whatever, you know, fake kind of nonprofit slash public defender type work.
I think she would have fallen for someone more like her father, too. So it definitely would be kind of like a reverse version of the Conways, you know, like the she would be George Conway and he would be Kellyanne. Like just they would have completely opposite views on the political spectrum, but they'd fuck real good.
Yeah, or like, you know, they're kind of like fake opposite views, kind of like Carvel and whatever his wife's name was, also in reverse. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like if it were written now or set now, at some point in the show, we're going to be introduced to Finn. And Finn is her, you know, her new boyfriend. And that relationship to me, very much like the Noah relationship that she has, like with Noah Tannenbaum, like these are men who I almost feel like she's dating because she doesn't want to be so obvious
it's
as
college.
To
she's
fuck her father.
She's trying out different personas, which is what you do in college.
Right. When really, like, at the end of the day, Jackie Jr. was more her speed.
Right. Like, what would I be? What would it be like if I was the type of person who would fuck the obnoxious rich film buff guy?
Yeah. You know? Just you try it on for size and see how it fits.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it fit very well. Mm-mm. Yeah. Did we say before that Janice would have been a Marianne Williamson person?
I don't know, but yeah, that's fully accurate.
Yeah, yeah.
I think she would be posting on Facebook about kids in cages, but then also looking at the tax plan and being like, I vote for Trump, but if anybody asks, we got to get these kids out of the cages.
Yeah, yeah. And also, you know, she's someone who could very easily fall for Q stuff, but I think to grift off of it.
I think Rosalie April is going to be the mom that gets really into like QAnon.
Save the children.
And saving
straight
the children
up.
From the pedophiles.
Yeah.
Have you seen this Wayfair thing? Yeah, that seems like exactly. Rosalie.
Or Georgie, the dumb guy at the club who, Tony's always hitting with phones and like throwing the ice at. I could see him being like a big, a big like MRA / MAGA adjacent kind of dude.
I could see him, or not him actually. I could see Jackie Jr. Being the guy, that guy in New York, the mob boss who was killed by a QAnon guy.
Yeah.
I could see Jackie Jr. falling into that a little bit.
Well, he's dead, though, so it doesn't matter.
Well, if he were alive, you would have been radicalized.
There's no version of Jackie Jr. that survives until the present day.
That's very true, and that's a good point.
Do you think Silvio buys crypto?
I could see that. I could see Silvio.
I think Pauly's big on crypto.
Pauly's more of a crypto guy, you think?
Yeah, Pauly definitely strikes me as the type to like immediately believe whatever he reads on the internet, and I think I could see him getting into crypto.
I just don't see Pauly ever succumbing to the siren call of technology in any way. So to me,
it's a tough one. I could go either way on that one.
Yeah, Silvio does feel like more of a guy who would be more adaptable to the internet, you know? Like he's buying fucking Ethereum, like just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
I could see Hesh getting really self-righteous on social media, like every day with, MSNBC style quotes where he's dunking on Trump people.
What, you think that Hesh would be a reply guy?
Yeah, I could see Hesh as a reply guy.
Damn. I see Hesh as being part of Zionist Twitter.
Like, sure, yeah.
Like, he would have trolled me for
years. I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive.
No, they're not. They're not mutually exclusive. That's a good point. But, like, Hesh would definitely have, like, fucking been like, how's that Al Jazeera check coming, Matt? You taking Qatari blood money? You know, something fun like that.
Oh, Ralphie would have such a good TikTok.
I know he would. I think you're right. He would crush it on TikTok, and he would. He'd be someone who used TikTok to find like girls to just beat the shit out of him. You know what I mean? Like, he would. He would definitely do some grooming, but then have them abuse him. Well, yeah, I think that's that answers the question.
Yeah.
Thank you, David. Let's see, Vince. Why don't we do another voicemail, buddy?
All right. Well, I haven't vetted this one.
You haven't vetted any of them.
I haven't vetted any of them. Yeah, that's fine.
Do we know the lengths of them?
This one is medium length.
Thank you. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
No, this is 44 seconds.
Okay.
Hi, gentlemen. Calling in for Pod Yourself a Gun. Pod Yourself a Hypothetical. I'm a Patreon donor at the $20 level per leave, asking us to inform you of that. If Tony hadn't died at the end of The Sopranos, which we're led to believe, but instead went into witness protection, where would he be and what would he be doing? I think maybe Boise, Idaho, running some kind of strip club. You know, hide in plain sight, but like, far away from the madding crowd and the feds, not the feds, but his gangster people that want to kill him now. Give me your thoughts. Thanks, guys.
I'm going to say that witness. So the question is, like, what would Tony's witness protection program job be?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say that Tony is in Lincoln, Nebraska, and he runs a towing business. I feel like towing I feel like if you've ever met a tow truck driver, they're all like mob guys in witness protection, because it's like the most obvious racket of any job that you could possibly
have. They still
have.
Get to like, they get to feed their need to steal people's cars and ruin civilians' days.
Yeah. It's yeah. It's like extortionary, but in a legal way.
Yeah. Mm. So you think he'd be a tow truck driver? I think, I think he would, I mean, in terms of where he would move, fucking, I don't know. Like, where's a place that people, Scottsdale. I think
he would go. I don't think you get to choose though, right? Doesn't the FBI choose for you?
Well, yeah, let's just say he's in Scottsdale. He's kind of going the Kevin Finnerty route. But I think that,
I feel like there's too many actual, criminal enterprises in Scottsdale. Like there's, I feel like there's probably a fair amount of mob guys there doing sort of sex trade.
Maybe I've never been to Scottsdale. When I think of Scottsdale, I think of like, there are lots of people who do insurance. That's what I think of.
Scottsdale is like Las Vegas if it went to like 2 years of college.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So it's like the same, you know, like the people you meet in Vegas. But like a little, like they have a little more education, but they're on the same, in the same vein. They're weird desert people.
All right. So let me rephrase. Roseville, California, working as a claims adjuster for a insurance company, and just kind of like, the only joy he gets from it is the like denying care to people. Like he likes to do that personally, and he likes to like he also is like, especially if it's like a workers' comp insurance company, they'll like hire detectives and whatnot to like follow people and to see if they're like faking the injury.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing that himself, like personally. So, you know, I could see him just kind of like living out the rest of his days trying to deny people health care.
Yeah.
Brent.
I
think I decided he's in Provo, Utah. Mm. And he works at like a nursery, like a plant nursery, you know, because he seems strong enough. He could carry stuff around. And every once in a while, he'll get like really into a plant. and then he'll make it his kind of pet, like it's like they're the ducks, and then it'll die and he'll just fucking lose his mind and like fight a Mormon, just beat the shit out of some poor Mormon in the street.
Right.
We did forget his like love of animals, which might come into play somehow, you know, just being like some kind of, I don't know,
someone who fosters a lot of kittens. I mean, he's not going to be a veterinarian because he's not going to go back to school.
But he could work at an animal shelter of some kind, just like, you know, grilling people about their living situations before they're allowed to adopt stray pit bull puppies.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, you know, it all depends on whether or not he is going in witness protection with his family or not. I assume it's with his family, which is why I said like claims adjuster. It's something that he's stuck inside where, you know, he can't be recognized. He could also be someone who like takes care of animals. I'd like to think that he would straighten up and fly right, but I don't think so.
Nah.
Yeah.
I don't think he could do it.
Why don't we do another voicemail, Vince?
Sure. This one is 58 seconds.
All right.
Hi, Pod Yourself a Gun listener here. Just wanted to say on the comment of the show being sexist, I haven't found that to be true. I do think you need more female guests. I mean, you got your best insight about Richie's possible closeted status from a female guest. Sophia Alexandra was absolutely hilarious. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of us female soprano fans out there with our own takes on everything and the dynamics between the female characters. I mean, you said it's hard to address how great Edie Falco is every episode, but there's a lot of nuance there to be mined. But overall, I don't find this show to have a sexist bent. I think that might be a case of the whole gaslighting thing where one term gets used for everything, and then it gets muddied. Anyway, love the show. You guys are doing a great job. And congrats on your upcoming mailbag episode.
Did we say the show was sexist, or did we point out that the characters are sexist? I don't remember saying that.
No. It was, we weren't saying the show was sexist. Somebody commented, or someone left a review, a 3-star review, saying the show, it's a little bit sexist, disappointed. And I mentioned it on the last episode.
Well, it's because you use the word titties too much, and everybody thinks that you're sexist and not just sex positive and someone who...
I'm positive about titties. I like them. Yeah. I think they're good.
No, that's true. Yeah.
They're good. They're one of my favorites in terms of things. Uh-huh. They're one of my favorites.
Yeah. I don't think that's a controversial statement. I feel like everybody likes titties. I think
everybody is a big fan.
Call them breasts or...
Yeah, you could call them breasts.
Sure.
I just feel like titties says... I mean, it's like what's in my heart, you know? And I like to say what's in my heart.
It's a better word.
In terms of needing more female guests, yes, this is very, very true. I think one of the biggest hurdles that we've gone through in terms of booking this show is being surprised by how many people have not seen The Sopranos. Mm. I've asked, you know, I try to ask more female, you know, potential guests than male, because I'm always like, really, I'm going scattershot with the booking approach because I really want one of them to have seen The Sopranos. And I'm always shocked by how many people haven't seen it, not just women, but also, you know, men too. So, you know, yeah, but it's true though. We could definitely like try harder. It's like, I mean, one of the reasons
we got Aida Turturro on. So, you know, we're doing right.
First of all, Aida Turturro is the guest this episode, and I'm putting that in the description. Certainly won't get sued for that. That's why there's been like repeat guests that are women, because I'm like, they for sure have seen it because they've been on the show. But yeah, we will definitely keep that in mind. You know, if there's one thing about me that people know, is that I'm a cuck who can be easily shamed. And
that's true. I do say that about you.
I honestly think it's what makes me a good person, is that I'm like not immune to like criticism. I like take it to heart. And also very true about Edie Falco's character. There is a lot of nuance to be mined there. And I think that it's one of the reasons I'm so excited for the next few episodes and the next season, is it really is fucking like, it's Edie Falco proves herself to be above and beyond the best actress, not just on the show, but probably on television. So, excited to mine that content for all sorts of insights, you know?
Yeah.
And hopefully there'll be a girl there too to be like, yup, but not talk too much.
Yeah. What you said is right.
Yeah. What you said is right. Thank you, girl. No, I am stoked that there are a lot of female Sopranos fans. Is female, do people say every time I say female, I feel weird now,
because it feels very Hotep, where you're like, yeah, the thing about, yes, a female is,
think about females
when, yeah, she on her period, she gotta sleep outside so that she don't
excuse me, yeah, that anyways, I love that whenever I see that we have a female patron or you know, listener or fan, then I'm always like, fuck yeah, because yeah, sometimes I'm like, maybe we just appeal to bros, and that doesn't feel good. Yeah, so great question and great comment. Thank you so much for all that.
Right. We got another email. You want to go back to the email questions?
That's, yeah, what I'm, let's go do back to the emails. Pause for one moment. I got to piss.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, dude. I got a piss.
All right, bitch.
Little piss baby, dude.
I know. Just can't hold his little pee-pee. He got a little baby bladder. I like when forms still have home phone as separate from cell phone these days, because, like, come on, man.
Yeah, there's no one born before 19 or after 1970 who has a home phone now.
No.
But you actually, you live in like a home. Do y'all have a home phone?
No, we don't have a home phone.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure because my, you know, my parents are the only people I know with a home phone, but they've just been there forever. So I was wondering about people who buy new homes. Do they bother?
I mean, we sure didn't. Yeah, I don't know anybody who has a home phone. I know a lot of homeowners. No one our age has those that I know of. Definitely maybe like our parents and shit, but.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it. So, all right, what's the email?
Oh, we're back to emails. Okay. This is one from $5 donor. First time, long time. Here's my questions for the mail pod. On the most recent episode, someone made the point that if Tony let Janice into his crew, she'd likely be a top earner. That got me thinking. Of all the non-members of the crew, who would be the top dog if given a shot? Carm, Janice, literally anyone but Artie. Also, what sequel would be better? AJ Soprano, Fail Son, or a show where the goth son of Vito gets revenge on the mob? Thanks. Big fan of the pods, Joe Barker.
The goth son of Vito getting revenge on the mob it's just Cleaver in real life. And I really love that.
I got an answer for the top earner. I think this one's this one feels like a layup. I mean, maybe it's too much of a side character, but I think Svetlana, if you gave Svetlana a shot in the mob, like she is going to be, you know, she plays everybody like a fiddle and nobody fucks with her. And she seems more wise about the world than any character on the show.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, she's definitely... she's got the biggest balls of all the civilians. She gives the fewest amount of fucks. And she's got one leg, so she already has like a mob name fucking, ready to go.
I also think Meadow, like adult Meadow, would be really good at the mob. Like Janice is a bit, that's a tough one because she is the biggest like emotional gangster, but she is also... she has like the hippie thing where she like whatever she does, she can't make money. Like she burns calories in any way except ways that will get her money. Whereas Meadow, she is like the striver's dream personified. And, and I think all she's doing in college is learning all the ways that you can lie to yourself and put on an acceptable face to society, but really she's really good at like emotionally blackmailing people and I just think she's probably the most gangster and the cleverest of them all.
Yeah, I mean, because if you're talking about like if you're trying to gauge which of the civilians would be a top earner specifically, then you do have to go with people who seem to have it's not just that they're manipulative, but it's they have more of a drive to be successful, so it's like you wouldn't get like AJ wouldn't fit on that bill because he just has no drive to do anything. Janice has never been successful at anything money-wise. All of her grifts are petty. She's more, Al Pacino trying to fucking open up the parking meter in Donnie Brasco. Like that's like her highest, grift right there. I think Svetlana is that's probably the biggest layup. Honestly, I think Melfi would fucking rise pretty fucking high just in terms of like her ability to, I mean, she's not like in any way, she's not a murderer. She's not a sociopath or whatnot, but she's also smarter than everyone.
She is, but she's smart in the way that, most intellectuals are, where we think that we're like above the act of making money, which is never good for making.
That's
money.
True. I guess, I guess that's true. I just see her as somebody who would, I don't know. I feel like she would be able to fucking convince people that she is the mob boss, and then she would just be able to collect and let other people fucking, like, she'd be able to manipulate a large group of Guidos to kind of like answer her beck and call, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's like how good poker players talk about how they don't like playing poker with bad poker players because they don't know what they're going to do. I think she would over like think what the dumb people would do, and they would just respond in ways that were much simpler than she was expecting. So I don't know if I agree with that, but I think the Paul Dano character would be the top earner. He's got some great ideas about how to make that pussy yours. Why not that money, you know?
I think, they Brian Camerata or whatever his name is, he's a bit of a Boy Scout, but he clearly had some good ideas on scams. Like he set that whole HUD scam in motion. And I think anybody who works in financial services is already like basically kind of a gangster. And they have like the type of skills and personality that tends to lend itself to mafia-dom. And
I honestly, if we gave Massive Genius a chance, I think he would rise pretty far in the mafia.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have to, get past, their racism to let Massive Genius in. But I think that if they did get past that, I feel like, he seems like a good earner to me. Maybe that's just what he's projecting. I think who do you think of all of the civilian characters would be killed the fastest if they were in the mafia?
It's got to be AJ, right?
Well, yeah, I feel like AJ, I feel like Detective Vin McKazian probably.
Well, but he's not really a civilian.
Yeah, I guess not. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like who is like the least able
street
to survive.
Smart. Yeah.
The least street smart other than AJ,
I mean, Caitlin probably. Like Caitlin would probably get whacked pretty fast.
Oh yeah.
Caitlin would definitely
die. She like freaked out.
Noah Tannenbaum actually.
Yeah.
I think he's dead real quick. I think he dies accidentally on his way to the Bing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he gets into a car.
Oh, as far as good earners, I feel like Devin Pillsbury would probably be a good earner, because she's
heir
rich
to the Pillsbury fortune.
Yeah, she's rich and doesn't talk about it. Like she knows how to keep her mouth shut, like clearly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's good.
Although she's fucking AJ, so who knows?
I mean, her judgment isn't that great. But also I do feel like there's part of her that that wants to fuck AJ because at first I was like, oh, it's because he's like a mob kid's son, it's like she's kissing the mafia. But then kind of like in realizing that he's not that rich and whatnot, she still is fucking him. So I think that now she's fucking him because he seems like he has like real good finger blast energy. like he's someone who just like, he's trying to make sounds, He's like,
Yeah, he's got that macaroni in the pot.
He's got that macaroni in a pot. Like, that's his thing, is like, he's really good with his fingers. Thank you for that question. Was there a second part to that?
What's the better sequel, the AJ Failson or Vito's Goth son takes revenge on the mafia?
I think AJ Soprano Failson has got more juice, but there could definitely be an episode in which Vito's goth son gets revenge on the mob.
Yeah, I mean, the AJ Failson show is just Succession, but with the mafia.
Yeah,
I feel like that's clearly, an amazing show, whereas like the goth son of Vito gets revenge on the mob, to me, is that's more of like a series of Charles Bronson-esque movies. I'm for it. I think that's a great idea. It's like some sort of Guido the Crow.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm I'm down for that.
Such a great movie that could never exist now, and I love it.
Why could The Crow never exist now?
I mean, just goths are not hot in the way that they were then, I think.
Yeah. That's true.
That was a very, like, you know, grunge. That was like a good grunge superhero.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fucking Brandon Lee, dude. Is it Brandon or Brandon?
Brandon.
This is Brandon. Hey, this is Brandon. This is Brandon from Oakland.
Hey.
My father was, you maybe you heard of him. His name was Bruce Lee.
I play a really mean guitar, but I also like to do karate.
I do both at the same time sometimes, and people want to film me doing it. One time, this guy shot me with a real bullet. Anyways,
and then I became governor of Minnesota.
Then I became the governor of Minnesota, Jesse the Crow Ventura. And
God, God! That was my tagline in all of my commercials for governor.
Most of the commercials I did, I said, this message has been approved by the Crow himself. Caw-caw, caw-caw. And people, they really dug my message. Because
the Crow was the source of my powers. People didn't think I was going to get elected because they didn't know that the Crow was actually magic.
Well, I drink 3 pints of crow's blood a day, and when you're drinking that much blood, you really learn how to absorb the energy of a crow. And the energy of a crow is not that unlike the energy of a raven, but smarter. So it's like drinking a smart raven's blood. Caw-caw! Anyways, gotta go. Flap, 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 flap.
He is a crow.
Long time listener, first time caller.
I think that wraps up part one of the mailbag episode. What do you guys think?
Sure.
Yep.
All right. Well, patreon.com/fraudcast. If you become a patron, then you will, of course, be, you know, privy to all of our bonus episodes of The Fraud, which is Pod Yourself a Gun, but about other things other than Sopranos. And also, you'll get to hear the second half of this mailbag episode. So become a patron. $8 tier gets you a shout out. So do that, too. Fraudcast@gmail.com for all your questions, comments, concerns. Vince, what's the Google voice number?
415-275-0030.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to see you in part two on the Patreon. And until next time, don't stop believing.
Don't stop.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.